Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren Bresnitz is out in the field shooting what looks today on Instagram to be fried chicken, but could be fried squid. I'm not entirely sure. That was just a track by Taka Taka called These Broken Chairs off their new record out next month, AM Landscapes. Really got to wait till that last note on the string is played down to the last 5 minutes and 4 seconds.
You don't really understand the song until that the last string got played.
I would almost say it's the last string played and then the pause after that. I'm serious. All jokes aside. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, how many have you made? You know, you've made mixtapes when you were younger and you had to, you couldn't just go right into the next song for it, not for Dita, obviously, but you just, that pause actually makes a difference. So we'll discuss those differences. They're here live in studio. Gonna play a few songs. But today, Mark, can I call you Mark the Bean Guy?
Sure.
Is that appropriate?
That's fine.
But why don't you introduce yourself?
Mark Gravel, cook, designer, and I love beans.
Your beans are delicious.
Thank you.
I think the first time that we met, and I probably will get this wrong, is when you did your bean pop-up truck, food truck, at East River Bar.
That's right.
And it was pouring.
Yep.
And there was a line of like 200 people waiting for bean tacos.
Yeah, there was a extremely long line. A lot of people came out.
And having done food events that have been rained out numerous times, I went, I got to meet this guy because pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was a great night. We served over 400 people black bean tacos that night.
And I mean, it was just not just, but black bean tacos, liquid cheese.
Everything was local. The beans were grown in upstate New York. The cheese was made in Providence, Rhode Island. The greens, all the vegetables were grown at Brooklyn Grange on the rooftop farm here in Long Island City. And tortillas were made in Bushwick. So yeah, we were able to sell really amazing plates of food, all local stuff, for $8.
It was really good. Since then, we've realized we have a mutual friend, Alex Pasternak, and then also just hung out a bunch and watched you slowly grow your bean empire.
I'm working on it. Still a hill of beans right now.
What's the metaphor for when you get to the other side? Mountain of beans?
A mountain of beans. Maybe.
But let's go back. Your love of beans comes from a long history of family bean makers, right?
That would be the romantic story.
I like romance.
Yeah, who doesn't? My love of beans comes from growing up in the South. We had a lot of really amazing black-eyed peas, lima bean dishes, you know, just like made by really old-school cooks that just like knew how to make the most amazing pot of beans. So like when you're exposed to beans that are that good at a young age, it really kind of makes an impression on you. And you know, it's like you understand like why they're so good. And you know, a lot of people don't really appreciate beans because they never had really good beans, but when you have them made right, they kind of just always stick with you, and you want to try to find, you know, a dish that was that good.
So I mean,
better all the time
on your quest to the perfect pot of beans, mm-hmm. if it does exist, have you gone back and since spoken with the people whose beans you eat growing up, and you know, trying to wrangle some part of their secret, or getting full disclosure?
Last time I was in Charleston, I was talking with Martha Lou at Martha Lou's Kitchen about why her lima beans are so good. And, you know, it's just fresh lima beans. It's all very simple, straightforward cooking. Black pepper, salt, and a little bit of sugar, and water, and onion. And it's just like, that's it. It's the simplicity, I think, that makes it the best.
But, I mean, that's to say, it's like, oh yeah, you know, you can make a good Italian meal with four ingredients, but if you don't know how to combine them or cook them, or there's a lot. That's a romantic statement that you just said.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, in the process of that, like, what do you learn might be like the single most important step to making beans?
In my opinion, the single most important step is just letting them cook till they're completely finished, because a lot of times they'll be undercooked. And just tasting along the way. And when they're finally done and tender, you know, you have that nice broth because the starch from the beans has, you know, released into the broth and created this kind of like more viscous, hearty substance. Just the most important thing really is just to be patient and let them finish cooking.
And you know, I know for certain listeners, you can be like, what could be so exquisite about a pot of beans? But having had the beans that you've made, they are really just that that excellent.
Thanks.
And in the process of talking about beans, you said, you know, put your money where your mouth is and made a book called Kill the Recipe.
I did.
Which is awesome. And it's more like a talk-a-talk, help me out here. Thanks, guys. which is great because it's a cookbook, guidebook, a notebook. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a wonderful companion piece.
Yeah.
I'm right?
Primer? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the book, Primer.
All right. So the book definitely is a primer on the fundamentals of making beans. Over the course of my cooking and doing these bean-based pop-ups in temporary restaurants, people are always asking me how I made such good beans. So I was felt it was just time to put it all in one place and put that knowledge out there so people could make good beans as well at home. So the book, it's a cookbook, visual guidebook. It's all hand illustrated by super talented Lucy Engelman, and majority of it is handwritten as well. And it's meant to just feel like kind of like a journal as well. Every other page is lined and has a place for you to keep notes. So it kind of ties into the whole format of the book, which is how-tos and not recipes. You know, the basic premise of the book is it shows you how to make one really good simple pot of beans and then shows you how to repurpose that and make really quick, healthy meals throughout the rest of the week from that one pot. So, you know, it gives you the template for like how to make a soup, how to make a stew, a salad, how to, you know, make pureed beans. And you know, it just like lets you kind of work with your own tastes and preferences. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure for beans. So the notes pages are just like for you to kind of keep track of what you like, what's working for you, what, you know, clever little tricks and ingredient combinations you came up with.
We're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Kill the Recipe and a little bit more about the book and the different recipes and flavor profiles in here. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. The upcoming track is going to be off of our new Snacky Tunes Volume 3. We'll be doing a free show at Cameo Gallery with Imel and Friends, Moonhooch, Erica, Spring from Alvar Simone, with Computer Magic DJing. If you'd like to go for free, just email snackytunes@gmail.com. There'll be more info coming up shortly, but this is a track from the Spinto Band, live from Snacky Tunes.
Take me by the hand, I'll be no good. Take me by the hand, so
So you guys, I told you, during music interludes, all the questions get asked. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We have Mark, the author of Kill the Recipe, talking about all things beans. One of my favorite parts of this manual is the spices and herbs section, because it doesn't really, you know, you really pared this thing down where it's like not like every page is like, you know, it's this type of bean, it's that type of bean. It's very much like, here's the spices, here are the type of beans, here's how you can mix them, do it as is. So tell me about the spices and herbs page and how this kind of came to be.
Yeah, the spices and herbs page, it's just a page that gives you kind of the foundation of each cuisine's kind of flavor profile. So it goes through the basic spices and herbs that are used in various cuisines, you know, Italian, North African, various Latin cuisines. So yeah, it's just meant to give you an idea of...
Now, do you recommend, so it's like for Spanish, you have cumin, parsley, paprika, saffron. Do you recommend all four get combined and that's how you do it, or any one of those can?
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, any one of those, any number of those in any combination, you know, it's just really up to you to kind of get creative and experiment and see what you like. Yeah.
And let's talk weeknight beans. Yeah. Because one of the questions I would ask off air was, you know, the difference between fresh beans and canned beans. Fresh beans obviously take a lot more work.
Yeah.
But weeknight beans, we're all busy guys.
Yeah. Weeknight beans are good when you don't have any cooked beans already in the fridge or, you know, in a pinch. Yeah, so weeknight beans is the first how-to in the book, and I made it the first one just because I wanted, you know, bean cooking to be really accessible to everyone. And even if they didn't really think they had the time or the total know-how to make a good pot of beans, weeknight beans was a good place to start because it just shows you how to make canned beans way better. So it's very simple and straightforward. You take a can of beans, whatever you like or whatever is at your store, and you combine them in a pot with garlic, olive oil, salt, and crushed red pepper, and you just boil them, you know, boil them like you would boil pasta, and boil them for 5 to 10 minutes, you know, boil them a little less if you want to use them for a bean salad, cook them a little bit longer if you want to puree them or use them in a soup or a stew. So yeah, it's just a good starting point for people to kind of get into the bean making process without the time, you know, the extra time it takes in planning that it takes to soak and simmer them and stuff like that. It's just the fast track way to get beans on your table.
If you were to, you know, give a time difference between canned beans and fresh beans, how much time are you actually saving?
Oh, well, if you're shelling the fresh beans too,
Oh,
you're saving a lot of time, like many, many hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a couple hours.
It's pretty significant. Yeah. And also what's great about this book is that you published it yourself.
I did.
So take us through that process and, you know, that how that kind of came to be and how you did it.
Well, self-publishing is really great because you have total freedom, total creative freedom, total control to do whatever you want, put whatever you want in the book. So the keys to really self-publishing are being able to, you know, produce the book and lay it out and do all that kind of, you know, technical work, and then, you know, make a PDF. And there's, you know, making it into a PDF seems very oversimplified. But yeah, for me, I didn't want it to be kind of like the traditional looking cookbook. So that's why I was really focused on the illustration part. And Lucy kind of came along at this amazing time.
Who's your illustrator, right?
Yeah, Lucy Engelman is the illustrator. At the point I was looking for an illustrator, I got this email one morning out of the blue and was like, it was from Lucy. She was like, hey, really like what you're up to. If you need any illustrations, let me know. And I was like, well, actually, yeah, I have this book project that could, you know, use your illustrations. She's super talented. I don't think she knew what she was exactly getting herself into.
Who did the
very beginning?
Who did the handwriting?
She did as well.
Oh,
yeah. She illustrated it and wrote it. Like the handwriting, it's all her. She's just got amazing penmanship as well.
Did you send her a nice pot of beans as a thank you?
I sent her a copy of the book, and more things are on the way.
Okay. Surprises.
Yeah. Yeah, pots of beans and, you know, the postal service. It's kind of a...
What is the best way to ship beans?
Dry.
Which is still a couple hours of work. Yeah. So I don't really know if that puts it in a good position or not. Like, here's some dried beans. Get to the king. Yeah, start soaking.
Put them in a bag. Dry. Include some, you know, bay leaves or chili, dried chilies or something like that. Like a little bean care package.
It's actually not that bad. Yeah. A bean starter kit?
Yeah, no, that's yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah, one of my friends gave me a bean starter kit a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, she gave me some amazing Peruvian beans with some chili de arbol's in it. And I was like, yeah, this is great. Thank you.
Do you, I mean, all beans are created equal, but do you have a favorite bean?
I was saying earlier when we were off air that red cowpeas are my favorite beans. Just, you know, I'm partial to Hoppin' John and those kind of delicious bean dishes of the South, so I really love red cowpeas. Yeah, they're kind of, you know, if once you have these, you will never be able to eat regular, like, black-eyed peas ever again. They just won't taste the same.
They won't measure up.
No, they don't, because these are kind of just like the original.
The original. Well, Mark, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell people where they can order the book and find you and hire you for private bean parties?
Yes, absolutely.
You might laugh, but he has to leave early to go cater a bean party.
I hope it's well ventilated.
Yeah. No. yeah, killtherecipe.com. You can view the book online for free. You can also purchase it. There's a link to Amazon from the website as well. My email address... Everything you could want to know about me and Lucy and the book and more.
It's awesome.
KillTheRecipe.com.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We have a track coming up from TCTS from the Feel So Good EP, and then we have Taka Taka Live in studio. You are listening to Snacky Tunes.
Oh,
TCTS, Feel So Good, in case you didn't know what the name of the song was.
That was a bumping track.
Yeah.
I couldn't help but start moving a little bit.
I mean, I love my house and disco, despite that the majority of the bands on this are like of the indie rock type of persuasion.
Was that like a live here in the studio thing?
I wish. No, that was...
it's like some space...
No, that was from taken from Animax, like Free Music Mondays, which is a great SoundCloud if you want to ever hear more of that. But... enough about other bands and other radio shows. We have Taka Taka live on Snacky Tunes. Welcome, guys. You want to go around the room and introduce yourself?
I'm Gabe.
Craig.
Conrad.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
First time doing something performance-wise in a while, right?
Like 7 years.
Seven.
It's been like a decade. Last time we played was in the 90s, maybe?
Well, it's a good time because it's revival season, so... why don't we get a little history of Taka Taka and how you three came to be playing in this converted trailer.
I'm going to let Conrad field that one.
Taka Taka has been sort of a project that, I joined up in 2005. We practiced for a year without doing anything and then released a record, toured a bit, 2008, released another record, toured a bit, did some fun things, and here we are. Over 4 years later, with another record, and
at long last.
And we are here in the studio with you.
Right.
If you're in a band and you practice for a year but don't play a show, are you still a band?
Absolutely.
More of a project. More of like a creative project.
Well, define band, then.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm asking.
It was a studio project for
a
year.
I mean, you have to submit a formal resignation to ever actually leave a band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In the four-year hiatus, what happened, and how do you guys come back together?
We lost a couple of band members. We gained a band member. We had various trials and tribulations. I made a solo record in the period of time.
We went to Europe.
We did a lot of fun stuff in that period of time. Like we had after the last record came out, we had like two and a half years of just playing shows off of it. Oddly, because it came out much later in Europe, so we were going over there.
So second life, third life.
Yeah, exactly. Life. Yeah. And because, you know, it takes them a while to understand things over there.
Really grasp.
This isn't broadcast in Europe at all, right?
It's our only listener base. Losing them by the second. Keep going.
So, yeah. And then Grady, the last bass player, he moved out of town. And Drew left the band. And then Renee left. And
lives just happen.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a lot of official band drama to be. That sounds like the classic story.
Yeah.
I like that. Lives happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now this is all reconverging for a new record coming out next month.
Yep.
Want to check your label's name?
It's the label's Ernest Jenning. They are wonderfully nice people from Brooklyn, as are we.
As are we.
Which is where we are right now.
Yeah.
And and it's coming out on November 20th, just in time for Thanksgiving, which is a food-oriented thing.
Yeah. Right? Wait, it all ties back together.
So we're going to make a bean turkey.
I actually do like records that come out in the quote-unquote like quiet period of the music industry. You know, it's September, October are just totally oversaturated. And then November, I think, you know, in older models, you just be considered dead. But now, given everything, you actually have a chance to kind of cut across. There's no model anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the model?
It's modelless.
But there's still a little bit of like a harken back to a... Rhyme and reason, but yes, true, no more. Why don't we hear a song?
Sure.
Okay.
Off the new record?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thankfully off the new record.
I'm letting down your hair. It's so prepared. I'm sure of our love, let out our love. Walk my fingers up your neck and try to forget why I'm never there. Sigh, sigh, sigh. Take a slide. Thank you.
That's awesome. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody play a keyboard with their feet before. What is that pedal? Or what is that?
This is just a little MIDI foot controller for this synthesizer over here. So I have it programmed to play. Each button is a different chord.
So awesome. That's really cool.
We made this record. It's like this totally insane amount of overdubs with like full strings and horns and all these things. And we're trying to figure out how to do this as a three-piece. And we have like, in the drum pad, we have like a bunch of like strings in there that are from the record. And like he's playing, he's got guitar chords playing out of it. And like Craig's got synthesizers moving with his feet. It's kind of ridiculously awesome.
Who did all the live strings and horns for the record?
It was arranged by a guy named Mike Atkinson who we just saw. He just was conducting the New York City Ballet, which was kind of awesome. And all these great, amazing musicians played.
Wait, he did that before, or you just saw him?
We just saw him this week. Yeah.
Saturday night.
It was kind of crazy. It was like to see him bowing in front of with ballet dancers.
In a tux.
How was that after party?
Crazy.
We can't comment on that. What happens at the ballet stays at the ballet.
I believe that's actually
you know
how,
that. You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
The rule. I was just trying to see if you guys would break the vow. Kudos.
We had just really talented people. The Oso Quartet do all the strings. We had Alex Sopp on flute. Kyle Resnick on trumpet. Craig played some trumpet. Hideaki Amori on woodwinds. And Tim Albright, trombone. Mike Atkinson played the French horn. Just a lot of really talented people, and a lot of the time we were away was spent making this record also.
Right.
So,
I mean, and you can hear that, you know, we were, again, off air talking about the track that we played on the opening of the show and how it kind of encapsulates what I think that you would hear from this record by, with the horns coming in and the string, the very last bitter note of strings, with the pause, but it also starts almost with just the three of you playing and not knowing that would coming in. So, you know, it's exciting to hear all that. Do any of you have like previous experience arranging records, or did you bring in this outside guy to kind of help fill in the knowledge gap?
Yeah, I mean,
a little, but yeah, he's a pro.
Yeah, he's a pro, yeah. And the solo record that I did was also with Mike on, like, I did a lot, I wrote a lot of things in, like, synthesizers and fake strings, like we should have like some real strings. And then that's how I met Mike, and he did that. And then and just working with him is so easy and awesome.
It's amazing that you can for experts, like, just know just enough to try and find the expert know that they're an expert, and then just relinquish all control and be like, take it.
All we need to know is that you know what you need to know.
But I mean, there is a process to finding, you know, who those people are, and then
for sure
having, you know, being able to check your ego
and relinquish control and let the experts do their thing.
And how did that play into the songwriting process? But having, I mean, it sounds like you had a lot of people come in and help. How did that shape the record overall?
I mean, all the songs started with just the three and four of us at the time. There were four of us, so it was really just the four of us that wrote everything. And then Mike came in, and there were like, we had some rough ideas of like what we would like, you know, like I talk about like, I want this to be some bombastic, like, Philip Glass part or something like that. And he'd somehow translate that very loose description into... But he pulled a lot of the guitar melodies and the bass melodies and the drum rhythms, you know, and just built on what we had there, you know. And there's a lot of synthesizer and ambient stuff going on that we put in. So it's like, there's a lot of... mixing the record was kind of an insane process, because it's like, I mean, it's like a maximalist record, and then we just had to like kind of tease out like the original threads in the mixing process.
On average, how many tracks per song?
It was insane. Like, the Phil who produced the record was also working on like the Acreville record. He was like, this is more tracks than, like, there was one song we had that had more tracks than like the last, I don't know.
Like an album or so. He was comparing it to something.
It's like ridiculous.
Phil Palazzolo, the producer.
Well into the 60s of tracks.
Yeah.
60s and 70s.
He earned his keep during mixing for sure.
Yeah. Sense of pride in that? A little bit of a...
We threw a lot of stuff at the wall.
Not for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of it.
Got more tracks than all y'all.
Not
so the next boasting. I don't know if that's
a
really good thing.
Embarrassment more than pride.
Went a little crazy.
That's fine. But I mean, a bit. Let's hear another song.
Okay. What are we doing next? Grayscape.
This is Grayscape.
One, two, three, four.
like the dog you are. Go outside and plan your great escape. Fill it up with something that looks like love. Turn around, turn around on me. Turn around, turn, 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 turn around, turn around.
So you gotta wait for that last pause. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. That is great, and all those are just alive tracks, just plugged right into the drum pad. Right.
Yeah, those.
Because you can hear the difference as opposed to your synth horns, which like
right.
are always.
Yeah.
You can get them good, but right. they're like you always hear like that edge to it or like right. that
totally.
Yeah.
That side.
Yeah.
Those are real things.
Yeah, it's crazy. Real things put into the sound backing of a drum pad. So yeah. does that make it?
Yeah, I don't know where that lives.
Where does that live?
It's still real.
Somewhere it's real.
It's in this world. Right.
I mean, I guess if you hear horns on a record, they're right. still real horns.
Right.
Right.
And that's in
digital. The horn players exist somewhere. We met them. I don't know where they are now.
Somewhere.
But now that we don't see them, maybe they're in the drum pad. The real instruments are just like this. No, and these players were so amazing. You know, they're insanely amazing.
Do you have any plans of pulling it all together for like one actual live?
We should definitely.
Yeah, that's the goal to do that pretty soon, actually.
Hopefully before the year's out.
We've played shows in the past where we've had some people come on and horns come on and this and that, and they've just been, I think, some of our most, to me, memorable concerts. And it sounds so full and rich. It's wonderful. It's just a matter of tracking everyone down and making sure schedules work
and
not pissing them off between now and then.
Is that are you in danger of that?
No.
That sounds like some serious
sounds like something
real,
that maybe I might be in danger of.
We love you guys, please. You know, you guys went on Europe together and you've, you know, been around a band together. Food is always a huge component of that. Do you guys get together and eat regularly? What do you guys do on the road?
Well, the road has been, like, in the past, we've had such bad food on the road. But then also, so Europe is its whole other thing, because it's, like, every venue will, like, have, like, in France, like, they'll have, like, or a lot of the venues in Europe will have, like, a family-style dinner.
And it's homemade
it's
food.
It's actually someone actually cooked the food.
Like real horns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like real horns.
Like real horns.
Yeah, so we've had some really amazing food overseas, for sure. When we're here in the States, it's always like, but, you know, we do pretty good. We always kind of seek out something that's
I think all of us...
We don't eat fast food.
Yeah, and I think all of us actually enjoy, like, care about what we eat and think about these things. And, I mean, Craig especially is just, with his grill... Like, oh, I hear stories about, yeah.
You're from Texas?
Yeah, so Craig comes into practice and you know, we discuss, well, he's like, oh, I did everything for, I'm gonna eat for the week yesterday. Yeah. I prepared it all. And
what do you normally cook on your grill?
I've been,
you seem bashful, you, you
a lot,
just like head up, man.
A lot of slow smoked chicken thighs, and then put them under the broiler at the end, finish them to crisp the skin. So they smoke for about an hour and a half, and then 5 minutes under the broiler.
I mean, I guess maybe your
ribs.
Guys didn't get prepared by bringing food on the show, but, you know, I guess that's okay. Next time.
Next time.
Just a rib. A rib or a wing.
Yeah, Craig, you can start by bringing food to practice.
Yeah, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I guess you guys first.
Right.
Bragging about it's one thing, but, you know, I'd like to... Are these real ribs? Are they fake ribs? I don't know.
I'm just trying to, you know, coerce them into coming out into my neighborhood.
Where do you have an outdoor grill? Or?
Yes. I live out in, like, right on the edge of Bushwick in Ridgewood, which is way far.
Oh, so you have, like, probably 2 acres for $1,000 a month? Something like that?
Pretty much, yeah. It's about... 7 minutes from here.
2 acres. Yeah.
And then, so you guys, the record comes out in a month. Do you have touring plans set up?
We're working on it right now. We're getting there.
Yeah. Working on everything. But it was something where it's like, it's been so long, I would love to get this record out and have people hear it, and we'll just take it from there.
What's the time between it's been done and, like, artwork's been done and everything?
That long.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I think the audio was finished 2 months ago, I guess.
You found some tracks in the back of the fridge, and you're like, shit, we forgot to mix these in.
Exactly.
Craig slow cooked them, and then they were ready.
Braised them, gave them a nice rub, and just...
We needed the crispy outside.
And then 5 minutes on the broiler at the end, and the tracks were done.
So that's not that, in, you know, terms, that's not that long of a wait. Sometimes things will be done, and then 6 months later, like...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right. That kind of strategy, again, like with no real model for release, it's not anything that we need to spend time on. Right? Yeah. We just want to get the record out, and then.
And how did the label come? How did the label come about?
We've been working with those guys for this. This is the second record we're doing.
Oh, okay.
So it's like they.
We're
kind enough to pay for the strings and the horns and.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, we've worked with them a lot. It's been great since we've started working with them. They as a label have grown, and their roster has grown, and they have great artists on it. It's a pleasure to work with them.
And you guys said CMJ Showcase this Friday.
Friday, the Ernest Jennings Showcase at Grand Victory in Williamsburg.
Which is ex-Brewer Falls.
Ex-Brewer Falls.
Ex-Black Cat. On Grand Street.
Ex-Black Cat.
Right across the street from Clem's.
Where nothing bad ever happens there.
Yes.
Right.
That is a terrible tagline.
Wow.
That is getting in front of a problem that you should never acknowledge exists.
Nothing.
The pause was really important.
Yeah. The pause. I'm telling you need that pause. There it is. No thanks. Who else is playing on the showcase?
Dinosaur Feathers, not to be confused with Dinosaurs and Feathers.
The
band.
Wild Yaks.
Wild Yaks.
Who are amazing. They will actually be on the show sometime later this year.
Awesome.
Cool. I don't know if we have enough room for that much energy, but we'll figure it out.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be another band on the bill, but I can't remember.
But the internet has that information.
Yeah.
I hope.
Google that.
Yeah, we will absolutely.
What are you asking us? Ask Google.
I mean, if not that, what else will we talk about?
Right. Exactly.
I'm Googling it right now.
Awesome. So I want to make sure that we have enough time to play one more song. But before we do that, all the nuts and bolts where they find you. Pre-order up?
I think an announcement is coming this week.
Okay.
So, but at that point...
We'll know this week.
We'll know this week.
And then I'll know.
It's a private announcement, then we'll make it public. Yeah. Our website, takatakamusic.com, we're on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and
I deactivated all those accounts.
Right before the show.
Right.
Yes, right.
So you might only want to go to Friendster.
Right. Check out our Friendster profile leave some recommendations or whatever it used to be.
You know what? I'm probably still there.
Yeah.
I never remember.
I actually found out that my MySpace is still up, although it was my college email. That is how I used to log in. So I have no way to reset the password. So all those pictures are just prime for the...
Just find us on linkedin.com/takataka.
That's going to be permanent. That's permanent now. You can't change it.
It's internet permanent.
You can't take it out. You can't change it.
At least I'm okay with like the... front photo, but every once in a while, my friends will be like, "I'm like, where'd you get that photo?" They're like, "Your MySpace still up?" It's like,
It's coming back. You better watch out.
Yeah, I hope not. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being on here.
Thank you very much.
I cannot wait for that record. It sounds awesome. Live strings, cool. Live horns, grilled meats and all.
Yep.
What is the name of the last track that you're going to take us out with?
It's called, what is it called?
It's called...
the long name, Travelers on the
it's, Pilgrims. We
are Pilgrims No More. The yes. End of our traveling days.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, we used to just call it Travelers on a Train.
We always called it Travelers on a Train, and now we can't remember the actual title.
Then we called it Pilgrims for a little while.
Yeah. Pilgrim.
And then you added a couple more tracks and words in there, and then yes. Just mixed it all together into right. That.
For me,
all
right. It's number two.
Oh, everything good? We're going to do a special CMJ show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Tune in for that, and then we will be back next week with more Snacky Tunes. Taka Taka, take it away.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.